Zorn, the greatest father in all the land. Zorn, 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 we sing the praises of Zorn.
Eric Zorn is here for an abbreviated visit. Hi,
yeah,
Eric.
The theme song is actually going to be longer than our segment, Eric. I'm sorry.
It's been great talking to you. Thanks for having me in. Terrific to see you.
We're very sorry. But, you know, these TV stars come in. What are you going to do? You can't say no to a TV star.
No, I yield. I just want to have an entourage following me around, filming my every step the way he did. I was, like, pushed aside by his film crew in the hallway there.
Phil and I could follow you around and use our iPhones to videotape things.
Why not? Why not?
Let's do that. All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break because we have to, and when we come back, you wanted to talk tweets, right?
I have the top 10 tweets from the month of June.
Outstanding.
You'll laugh, you'll cry.
At least we have a budget.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I care about.
That's all that matters.
Not really.
Right?
No, it matters. That does matter. We can talk about that, too.
All right, that'll come up. Eric Zorn is here from the Chicago Tribune. Stick around. We've got the top 10 tweets from the month of June and a whole lot more. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right, Eric Zorn is here for a quick visit today. You can read him in the Chicago Tribune, and I do, and I did over the weekend. And you want to talk about some of the best tweets out there.
I do. I want to just do the top. We've been doing this for the last several months. I do the top 10 tweets of the month, and June is over, and we were off last Monday. Well, I was off. Wendy was off. You were here, though.
I worked.
Poor
Bill.
The station appreciates
you. With an injured leg, still work.
He still worked.
He walked in here from Evanston. Here we are, top 10. Now, I have to say about this first one. This was my favorite tweet of the week when it was in the poll. We have a weekly poll. And it finished dead last. Tell me if you like, because I like this one.
All right.
I did it my way, Frank Sinatra. I failed to see what business it is of yours, how I did it. Secretive Sinatra.
That's very funny. I think that's Frank, very funny.
It's very good. Very good. When life gives you lemons, start a GoFundMe.
Oh, I like that too.
People do that all the time.
You're not attributing these to anybody. You're not saying
no, I have this at ChicagoTribune.com/Zorn. I have these up and they're attributed.
Okay.
They're all under the little screen names.
No time, Bill.
There's nothing like the sound of a child's laughter to remind you that your apartment is haunted.
That one's good.
That's brilliant.
Using Latin phrases to sound smart is my modus operandi.
Oh, I like that too. Yeah. Wow, this is a good month for tweets, Eric.
This is a good month. Here, this is in the form of a little play, a little drama. Doctor, what seems to be the problem? Me, it's my hearing. Doctor, can you describe the symptoms? Me, well, there's Homer and Bart and Marge.
Good.
Okay. At my funeral, I want the...
That took me a
delayed
minute.
Delayed reaction
sorry.
From Wendy,
I'm
but
sorry.
Sometimes that's better, isn't it?
Yeah.
A delayed reaction is a better
that's
reaction.
That's a good joke, though, sometimes when it funny. Creeps up on you like that.
Hey, wait. Yeah. I think that's the truth with the secret of Sinatra. People like don't get it at first, and then it dawns on them, and they laugh all day.
Mm-hmm.
At my funeral, I want the organist to start playing Pop Goes the Weasel really slowly until everyone is staring at my coffin in dread.
That's sick.
Now, here's one. People didn't like this one either, but I like this one. If you think you've written a good Law and Order joke, it's probably already been done.
Oh, that's good too.
Done.
Yeah, I like that.
I don't get it.
That noise that they make anytime anything happens on Law and Order.
Dun, dun, dun.
Like right. that? Yeah.
Anyway. Hyperbole is destroying our civilization.
That's good. That's good. I like all these.
Okay. How to find out if you're old. Fall down in front of a group of people. If they laugh, you're young. If they panic, you're old.
That's so true.
Hysterical.
And the last one, and these were in no particular order, but this one is from Rex Supke, who's a Tribune columnist. Mm-hmm. He's been on your show. He's an inspiration to all of us. Anyway, inspired by Trump, I'm going to eat a bowl of ice cream, then deny eating a bowl of ice cream, and then tweet that I ate a bowl of ice cream.
Every one of those is solid.
They were good. They
Very
were solid.
Good.
So I'll
I
be
like
back. I'll be back in a month with the best from July.
All right.
There's some good ones from July.
And again, if people want to know who actually said them, because I like to give credit where credit is due. That's doable.
Absolutely with comedy. Yes. ChicagoTribune.com/Zorn, and I'll send Kevin a link to the exact thing. He can put it
All
on
right.
the Facebook page.
Very
too,
good.
So.
For the first time since the biblical times, there is a budget here in the state of Illinois.
Since the earth cooled off, we now have a budget in Illinois.
Right. Are you surprised by this? And more importantly, did Bruce Rauner just get himself reelected because there's a budget?
I am a little surprised, and I think that this really helped Governor Rauner's reelection chances. In my column over the weekend, I make the argument that What happened for anyone who has been not paying attention to exactly the ins and outs of this is that the Democrats and some Republicans got together and they finally said, okay, we've got to have a budget because we are really heading over a cliff. The mountain of unpaid bills, $14 billion in unpaid bills. We got, you know, universities in junk bond status, state universities in junk bond status, human service agencies firing, people closing down, services being denied. The road repair and construction, things were going to stop. We remember the Powerball and Mega Millions lottery had stopped.
Yeah.
And people were saying, this is extremely serious. Now we have to do something about it. So they passed a budget in the House and the Senate, and it included a tax increase personal income tax increase from 3.75% to 4.95%. 32% is what I'm told that's what it is. I haven't actually done the math. But so they passed this, and they sent it on to Governor Rauner, who had already said that we need to have a tax increase to about 4.95%. This is what he wanted. The budget also included $3 billion in spending cuts, so it was not just, you know, it was a responsible thing for them to do. Rauner vetoed that budget, saying that he felt that we wanted more business reforms. He wanted things like changes to workers' compensation formulas to make them more business friendly, for instance. And he also wanted a 4-year property tax freeze. I can't remember where the negotiations were on property tax freezes, but he wanted some other things thrown into the mix. He didn't get those. He vetoed it. Came back, and the General Assembly, both the House and the Senate, with Republican help, overrode that veto and passed into law. And the reason that I think that Rauner won is that his whole message is that House Speaker Michael Madigan, who's been there also since the earth cooled off, in the General Assembly, has runs with an iron fist, and he's the enemy. He's the guy who has put us into this situation. And that argument is not wholly without merit by any means. When I write about this, people always say, you forget to mention Mike Madigan. Well, it's quite true that Mike Madigan has been there for this whole thing. And what's happened is we've underfunded things over the years. We've been out of balance for a long time. We haven't put the money in that we needed to. It's been bad. It's gotten worse under Rauner. But he's able now to say, this is Mike Madigan's tax increase. And people don't like tax increases. Go figure. You know, they don't like to pay more in taxes.
Right.
So he will be able to exploit this. And he's going to be able to campaign. It's like, this wasn't my tax increase. This is Mike Madigan's tax increase. I think that argument is going to. And the other thing, the reason that I think Rauner wins is because we have averted a major crisis. We haven't gotten rid of the problem by any means, but we averted a major crisis with, like I said, the roads and the lottery and there's all kinds of big problems.
Sure.
We're now going to begin chipping away at this debt that we have. I think that we're not going to get to junk bond status.
We're not going to have the soda tax, I bet. Yeah,
well, that's Cook County, but that's Cook County. But yeah, but what has happened here is that we have been yanked back from the edge of the cliff. Now,
again,
a lot of people will say we haven't been yanked far enough back. There's still a lot of problems. We still haven't addressed some fundamental issues. That's all true. It wasn't like, well, we're all done now. Now everything's fine in Illinois. Illinois still got a world of hurt.
Sure.
But it's not, plunging into the sea right now.
With these tax increases, do we feel this immediately? Do we feel this in April? When do we feel
this? We feel it immediately, assuming that our taxes are withheld.
Yeah.
It takes effect July 1st. Now, there was some argument whether it should just take effect on January 1st. But they
can't
agreed to
help. Oh, you mean
so,
like back?
Well, I mean, the fact is that the taxes are still slightly less than they were back up until 2015.
Yeah.
I mean, there was that 5-year tax increase from 3 to 5%, and then that tax rolled back. And that's one of the things that got us into a lot of trouble, which was we allowed the income tax to roll back to 3.75%. But because we never got a budget, all of our spending was based on, court orders and agreements and mandates and so on. So we were spending about $17 million more a day than we were bringing in. Because of this imbalance.
Yeah.
And that's why things were getting so bad. That's why the credit houses were freaking out, which is like, hey, wait a minute, you guys, this is completely unsustainable.
Sure.
And it was. I think this tax increase, although it was unpopular, I think it was the right thing to do. And again, this was the tax increase that Rauner had agreed to in a larger context. He knows that we needed this tax increase. The state's going to run better under him because of this tax increase, but he doesn't have to own it at all.
Yeah.
And that's, politically, that can work to his advantage. He's going to have a lot of money to blast people for the Madigan tax increase.
When Bruce Rauner talks about term limits for politicians, is that aimed right at Mike Madigan?
Yeah, I think it is.
It is, right?
I think it's aimed at, yeah. I mean, basically, which is, and the thing is that first of all, any term limit amendment to the Constitution, any law, would probably not impact people who are there now, at least not for maybe 10 years or something.
Really?
Mike Madigan, I think, is 74. I'm not sure, but he's in his 70s.
He looks older. Sorry.
And he's not gonna, you're not going to be able to get rid of Mike Madigan with any kind of term limit law. Because, I mean, eventually, if he happens to hang on forever, you might be able to, but probably not.
Yeah.
And so it's more of a, just, you know, people are angry at politicians. They don't like politicians, and term limit laws are popular for that reason. You know, I mean, I happen to think that people have the right to vote for who they want to vote for, as long as the candidates are qualified. So, you know, I don't think that term limits would solve our state's problems either.
Probably
way.
Not.
And so... What we have now is we have sort of a better position now going forward, and maybe we can deal with some of these things. Maybe we can negotiate on remaps and, you know, the property tax issue. Maybe there are ways that the parties can come together as long as there's not so much poison in the air. I mean, it seems like a very Pollyannish thing to say. But
so now that this is behind us, what is to be learned from this? Because I think 2 weeks ago when we were talking about this with you, I said, of the 50 states, how are 49 of them able to pull this off? But for some reason, Illinois can't. So going forward, what did we learn from this 2.5 year experience?
Well, that's a good question. It seems to me that one of the things that we learned was that it does not pay when these budget things are complicated enough that you can't throw in everything else on top of them to try to come to a resolution.
Yeah.
You can't hold the budget hostage for your pet ideas.
Yeah.
And the other thing is that I think it pays off to treat each other with, when it's not actual campaign season, to treat each other with some dignity and respect around, you know, legislative bodies and governing. Because, you know, if it's always name-calling, if it's always campaigning, if it's always looking for this advantage, you just push people into a corner. I think the Democrats felt pushed into a corner by Rauner and his constant attacks on them as corrupt and sleazy. And it's like, you got to make a deal with these guys. Rauner won with like 50.4% of the vote. I mean, a bare majority of the popular vote he win. And he doesn't have any, and he had super majorities against him in the Senate and the House. It's not a great bargaining position. So you got to work with these people. And they just didn't do that. So I'll have more to say, but how about next week?
Perfect. Let's say more next week. It's Eric Zorn of the Chicago Tribune. He'll say more next week. We'll take a quick break. We'll find out what Steve has on the Wintrust Business Lunch. Bill and Wendy, WGN.